Welcome to the Poem of the Week. Each week, our poems are intended to help you practice the best, most current medicine by alerting you to studies that could change your practice. As usual, our host this week is National Public Radio's Dr. Michael Wilkes and Essential Evidence Senior Editor Dr. Mark Abel. Gentlemen.
Thanks, Maggie. Good day, Mark. How are you doing?
Doing fine.
You're at your summer compound. I understand you've moved from Georgia up to Michigan.
Yep, it's one of those days up here where it's temperatures in the 60s, but the lake looks like the Caribbean. It's got that really pretty sort of turquoise blue color. Sometimes it can look like the North Sea, sometimes like the Caribbean, and today's a Caribbean day, although it's a little chilly.
Wow, I'm jealous. I've not ever been up there. Anyways, today we're going to talk about a topic I suspect some primary care doctors don't do much with. I take care of lots of IV drug users where skin abscesses are an enormous problem. One of the questions about skin abscesses, there are several. One of them is you know, antibiotics or no antibiotics. This week we're going to look at whether ultrasound-guided needle aspiration is equivalent to surgical IND for the treatment of these skin abscesses. But before we do, just a little bit of background. When we talk about skin abscesses, we're talking about a collection of pus within the dermis and perhaps deeper skin tissues. There are a couple of related terms. A furnicle, what my grandmother used to call a boil, is an infection of a hair follicle with pus material extending through the dermis to the subcutaneous tissue. And a carbuncle is a coalescence of several different inflamed follicles to form a single inflammatory mass. In terms of skin abscesses, risk factors are obviously diabetes, other immune compromise states, as well as carriage of Staphylococcus aureus. Then we get to treatment, and you know it is a closed infection, and all of our listeners know that IND is essential. In terms of other important things, cultures, most of us, at least in my clinic, we don't have the luxury of obtaining cultures in a hospital or more advanced setting. Clearly, cultures are important. Looking for MRSA. The other group that's of concern are people that are at risk for endocarditis, and this group should probably receive antimicrobial prophylaxis prior to the IND. Recommendations are vancomycin, 1 gram IV, 60 minutes before the procedure. This isn't always possible. It certainly isn't possible with my patient population. Anyways, the question today, does ultrasound-guided needle aspiration make a difference when we're draining these abscesses? The article we're looking at comes from the Annals of Emergency Medicine. Mark, what did this group do and what did they find?
Yeah, I mean, one of the most rewarding things you get to do is, incise and drain an abscess in, you know, sort of typical primary care practice. It was always nice to get to do something where, you know, there was immediate relief and, you know, occasionally you got a little spray on your glasses, but, you know, it was all in a good cause. And so these authors asked a good question, and that's whether you could use ultrasound to guide needle aspiration of one of these superficial skin abscesses or not. And they found 101 adults in the ED with uncomplicated superficial skin abscess. They kicked out anyone who had sepsis or osteomyelitis or cellulitis that extended beyond the margin of the abscess. They then randomized them to this ultrasound-guided needle aspiration or surgical IND. So for the needle aspiration, they first visualized the abscess using the ultrasound, then they aspirated it using an 18-gauge or larger needle attached to a 40-milliliter syringe, and then they did ultrasound afterwards to confirm drainage. They recommended a 7-day course of trimethoprim sulfate to everyone, but it wasn't required, and most of the patients did get that. And what we also know from previous studies is it probably doesn't matter a whole lot once you drain the abscess, at least through an IND. The antibiotics don't add much, if anything. So they had patients come back 2 days later for an exam, including ultrasound, and then they called them a week later to see how they were doing. It was a good study overall, a little bit underpowered with only 100 patients, but they did have follow-up on 91% of the patients in the study. They defined a treatment failure as when they weren't able to drain the abscess, when there was any residual abscess, if symptoms got worse in the week, or if they needed any further drainage or interventions. And basically, the ultrasound-guided aspiration wasn't nearly as good as the traditional IND, with 74% treatment failures compared to 20% using traditional IND. They saw MRSA in about a third of patients in each group, and those with the MRSA were more likely to have a treatment failure in either, regardless of the method that was used. So bottom line is ultrasound-guided needle aspiration is a great idea, but unfortunately it does not seem to work for the treatment of superficial skin abscesses.
So just a couple of thoughts here. I'm assuming that the reason they even came up with this idea wasn't to increase billing, but somebody felt it was less messy and neater to be able to stick a needle in and drain this out than to, you know, put a big gouge in the skin.
Well, it was probably internists who were afraid of using scalpels, I'm guessing, who came up with the idea, Mike.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
No, well, seriously, actually, it was an ER journal, and I'm not sure if the authors were ER physicians, but it sounds like they may have been. But I think, you know, it might be, you know, it certainly would be a nice thing to be able to do if the abscess was in a maybe a cosmetically sensitive area, or in a kid where it might be easier to get them to hold still for a quick needle puncture, right, as opposed to an IND and then rooting around and, you know, getting all the purulence out.
And I'm assuming the treatment failure, they don't speak of this in the article, but I'm assuming the treatment failures had to do with loculations and just not being able to get as clean a removal of the pus as you can with an IND, where you can irrigate it and just get as much of that stuff out as you can.
Yeah, absolutely. That's got to be it. I mean, and by the way, I really appreciate the fact that, you know, how there are these things that we should have learned in medical school, but then as time goes by, we're sort of embarrassed that we never learned them, but then we never really bother to look them up. And one of those things for me is the difference between a furuncle and a carbuncle, and I really appreciate that I finally learned what that is today, because I'd had, you know, it's one of those things that I kind of, you know, globbed them together, and there was always furuncles and carbuncles, and I never really knew that there was a clearly defined difference. So thank you, Mike, for that.
My grandmother used to, this probably gives you some insight into my personality, but she used to always tell me that if I didn't stop it, she'd have a nervous breakdown. And I went through medical school and never learned what a nervous breakdown was. I still don't. anyways, to my knowledge, she never had a nervous breakdown.
But well, that's good. I'm glad to hear that.
Anyways, we'll talk next week.
All right. See you then.
Well, that's this week's poem. Thanks for listening. If you'd like to read this and other recent poems, please go to www.essentialevidence.com. And please join us again next week for another medical poem.